There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Polly Howard on VSiN.
Top of the morning to you. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Polly Howard, live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Yes, the home of the NFL Draft here this week on Thursday night, and we have plenty on that coming up on today's program. Best bets from Matt Youmans in 45 minutes and a bunch of beat writers from across the country. Jacksonville, what are they doing at number one? Detroit at number two. Texans at number three. We will cover it all coming up in the next 3 hours. But we will begin with what took place last night. Three games in the association. And I would say congratulations to those of you who got down on the Celtics right away as soon as a couple of books put up a series price on Nets Celtics, and they made the Brooklyn Nets around $1.45 or $1.50 as the favorite. That quickly changed, and because of bettors who said, come on, this number's absurd. There's no way the Nets should be favored in the game. I didn't see a sweep coming, Paulie, but they were clearly the better team. I know game one was a little funky, and they got lucky with a buzzer beater, but it's fitting that the season came to an end like this for the Nets, in my opinion.
Yes. If you played it, congratulations. Sweep was 12-1. And what a way to end the season. What a debacle. The horrible performance. ATS at home. Kyrie holding the team hostage. The Ben Simmons. Is he coming back? What's going to happen? They make the trade. The Harden mess. And I can say it because I can't prove it. Maybe they win the title last year if they would have stayed healthy. If everyone didn't get hurt. Because they were up 2-0 on the Bucks, and they were up 30 in one of the games. But this is an unmitigated disaster. I mean, will we ever see an organization do this again? Probably. But just turn it over to the players and say, okay, what do you want? You want your buddy DeAndre Jordan? We want to trade Allen? Okay. You want us to go get Harden, your other friend? Okay, no problem. You want us to fire the coach and hire your buddy Steve Nash? Okay, you got that too. No picks for the foreseeable future, the luxury tax, all this. Not much of a bench. We're just going to build around three stars.
No Jared Allen.
Yeah, right. Horrible move.
No LeVert.
Yep.
Maybe could have used a guy like that in the series.
Joe Harris got hurt. That didn't help. But it's just, it's incredible that the favorites going into the season to win the title, and they're the only team that gets swept. Can't win a playoff game. And now who knows what's going to happen.
And they were favored.
Yep.
This team was favored over Boston.
Yep.
I said it on the air the day after the playoff series prices came out. I'm like, I was looking at on every single app in Las Vegas. Yep. I kept refreshing. Please, for the love of God, open up the Nets minus 150 because I want to unload every account that I have on the Celtics. And odds makers here in Las Vegas were wise to it and said, no, no, no. The Celtics need to be favored in this series.
Yep. Good point about Allen, too, because their defense sucked for much of the year. Couldn't stop anything.
Sure.
And we knew Tatum. We said Tatum would go off in this entire series. That wasn't going on a limb. But again, this is a great Boston team.
And they are terrific.
How good they've been since the All-Star break. And if you need more proof, how about one book here? Open the Celtics a $2 favorite against Milwaukee.
That's all you need to know.
The defending champs.
About how good this team is.
Yes.
Now, the Middleton injury should be huge against the Celtics team.
Yep.
Part of the reason why they opened up a $2 favorite. And by the way, when the Celtics get the offensive contribution from Marcus Smart like they did again last night, I think they're almost unbeatable. And that's a guy, by the way, that I would look at as most improved over Ja Morant because defensively he was the player of the year. And offensively, when he's making his threes and some of the passes that he makes and cutting and getting to the rim, the guy's been awesome for the entire year.
Mm-hmm.
And that 1-2 combination of Tatum and Jaylen Brown, good luck. Good luck slowing them down. And now that they have Williams back, I can't wait to watch the Bucks take this team on. But man, with no Middleton, that's going to be tough sledding for the champs.
Good for them and good for the Celtics and Udoka as well to say, no, we're not ducking anybody. We'll take on the Nets. And
sure.
It worked out because now you have home court against Milwaukee. And Milwaukee didn't care about that 2-seed. And with the big injury, as you mentioned. The other thing, Bobby Marks, congratulations to Bobby Marks, ESPN.
That's right.
A week before the playoffs, the play-in game started, he went to his editor and his bosses and sent the article already in. He said, here's what the Nets need to do in the offseason to get better. I don't care who they play. They're not coming out of the first round. I don't care. Here it is. Article's already done.
It's over with.
He got that too.
Yeah.
He says, I live and breathe. I watch his team play and they can't get stops. Absolutely. They have lost now 8 of their last 9 playoff games too, the Nets. This is staggering. It really is. And Durant played well. He showed up.
Oh, he was great last night.
Curry was awesome. That surprised me. Curry got going. How about Claxton? 1 of 11 from the free throw line.
That's all you have to do.
I thought they could have gone to Hacker Claxton much of the series.
Sure.
But it's just, you look at how this played out in the NBA this year. Caesars tweeted this. The preseason favorites were the Nets and the Lakers. 0 playoff wins. One team can't even get in. Look at that, the Jimmy Butler looking at the stat sheet. Mm-hmm. He can't believe it. That's a great tweet. This is nuts.
And so what are we going to do next year in October? Are the Nets going to be 3-1 to win the Eastern Conference again? I hope so, because that's going to create some possible, future numbers on other teams that make some sense.
Can't be. You got to see the moves they make. Yeah, I mean, what do you even expect out of Simmons?
I don't even want to hear his name, Paul.
I
honestly don't want to hear his name. I don't care. You know what? And I'm dead set about this, okay? Give me Peyton Pritchard any day of the week over Ben Simmons, and I could go down the list and probably rattle off 5 or 6 guys from a lot of NBA teams where I would say, give me him over Ben Simmons. I don't want the guy. I don't care about him. I really don't. And this tweet from the Iron Sheik is just it's so good. Next time I see you, you want to know what a bad back looks like, Jabroni? Here you go. Here's the camel clutch.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I mean, his contract's absurd, too. So it's not like you can go out and make all these significant moves. And Morey took a lot of heat. I know Harden struggled, but that was a hell of a trade. To just say, we can't deal with this guy. We have to get rid of him. And at least we could get Harden in return. At least he can contribute and get on the floor. My God.
The reason why they had to trade Harden, though, is because he was sick of Kyrie.
You're right.
And again, who wants to play with him? Only somehow Kevin Durant elected to play with him, which is still just, I don't understand it.
Right.
That guy, Kyrie Irving, wanted to leave LeBron James. That's all you need to know. Mm. But a lot of people wanted to, whatever. But he said, no, I'm good. I'm going to go somewhere else and play without LeBron James. Looking back, we have a pretty good idea what you're all about.
Durant got horrible advice. You can still be friends with the guy. I question that. You're friends with that guy? He's a lunatic. But the other thing is, and we'll hear some great audio coming up from him, it's like the world's out to get us. The media this, media that. I mean, it's all you. But to go to Brooklyn and say, I want to be with that guy, I don't blame Harden either. It's like, what? This guy's not going to play now?
Sure.
I'm going to have some cheeseburgers and show up out of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll get
and then get rid of me as soon as you can.
I mean, this wasn't the deal. I don't blame Harden. This wasn't the deal. This wasn't what I signed up for. Mm-hmm. What he did in Houston was deplorable.
It was terrible.
But, I mean, still, I mean, what a fiasco. And I don't blame Nash either. A lot of people are ripping Nash. Durant nailed that, too. You want to talk about being dealt a bad hand. I don't think he's a good coach, but look at all the distractions, the things he had to deal with.
But I said it again yesterday. I don't know if any coach would go there. I don't know. Would they even listen? It's the definition of roll the ball out there and see what you can do offensively.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is. Could anybody get through to Kyrie at this point? I don't know. You got to deal with Ben Simmons? Now my back's hurting again? What?
Yeah.
Honestly.
What is it? Is it the back? The story changes.
No, it's not.
No, it's a back.
It's so sick. It really is. So this is, here you go with Kyrie again on the distractions the Nets had to face all season long.
I think it was just really heavy emotionally this season. We all felt it. I felt like I was letting the team down at a point where I wasn't able to play. We were trying to exercise every option for me to play, but I never wanted to just be about me. And I think it became a distraction at times. And, as you see, we just had some drastic changes. You know, we lost a franchise player, and we got a franchise player back, but we didn't get a chance to see him on the floor, and there was no pressure for him either to step on the floor with us either.
Okay. Yeah. Again, the reason why you lost a franchise player is because of you, and let's dial it back with calling Ben Simmons a franchise player.
Yeah.
Come on, knock it off.
You couldn't have worked it out though either. That's another thing. All three of them couldn't have got together and said, "Okay,
I know.
Maybe this. Yeah. Let's try."
No
to
game
work.
Plan before the season started.
Right. Right. Yeah. Absolutely. My God.
That, I told you. I mean, if the Sixers lose last night, it's squeaky bum time.
And I
can't believe I'm sitting here right now looking at every app in the world and this glorious sports book behind me and looking at the Raptors plus 102 to win the game. Sixers are favored in game 6?
I think it's going 7, and then it's up for grabs. Nothing out of the bench. Harden again. Gets to the rim, won't finish, can't finish, reluctant to finish. The crowd turned on him. They turned on Harden. They booed the team off the floor in the first half. Embiid is hurt. Maxey has gone down in points every game since game 1. Doc Rivers cannot make an in-series adjustment to save his life.
Nope.
He has lost 7 of his last 8 to close out a series. He is 3-11 in clinchers since 2015. Is he going to do this again? Why not? He leads the world in blown 3-1 leads. How about a 3-0 on the resume? Mm-hmm. What a way to go out.
Well, I certainly hope that people were grabbing the Raptors money line or 20-1 to win the series before the game started last night, because they were absolutely live, and now they're going back home. There's going to be no Thibault. Barnes back in the series.
Yep.
This series should be 3-2 right now, Toronto.
The free throws.
They should be going back home, trying to finish them off tomorrow night. And I think they have the edge right now. And I cannot believe that they're dogs in game 6. How does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm.
How? We're going to go back to Philly for a game 7, and the Sixers are probably going to be laying, 6.5 in that game?
Could see history here. They're the 14th team to force a game 6 after being down 0-3. And imagine what the home court advantage will work against them in game 7. They can't wait to turn on this team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they boot them off the floor.
Sure.
What is Harden doing? He gets to the basket and then passes every time.
Every single time.
He won't try to lay it in or create contact and get to the free throw line.
Yep.
It's nuts.
Oh, this would be something else. Again, the perfect recipe for a team to lose Doc Rivers and James Harden on the same team to blow a 3-0 series lead.
I mean,
there's your combination.
Yeah, break Twitter. You're right. A guy who continues to choke. Yep, you're right.
The first hour of Follow the Money is presented exclusively by Bet Rivers, your hometown sports book. Check out their daily specials at betrivers.com. We will recap the other betting action from last night with line moves, bad beats, and folks, I'm telling you, there was a moose already 2.5 weeks into the season. Details on that coming up next year and Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation? And a whole lot more. You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The VSiN Spring Specials here for only $59. You get everything VSiN has to offer from now to the end of July. The next few months are going to be filled with the best betting content in the business, and you'll have access to all of it. So subscribe. Adam Burke's Daily MLB Best Bets. Annie McNeil on the Stanley Cup Playoffs. Ton of NFL coverage as well. If you want the full VSiN experience, which features a daily best bet email, every edition of Point Spread Weekly, the live video stream whenever you want it, $59 through July 31st, VSiN.com/spring.
NFL Draft here. Matt Eumanns joins the program as he does on Tuesdays at this time, host of The Edge, weekdays at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific, right here on VSiN. Matt, good morning. Thanks for the time. We'll go over some of your best bets here coming up. Are you buying into Walker as the number one overall pick by Jacksonville at this point? I mean, the steam certainly told us that on Sunday night into yesterday. Or do you still think they can maybe go somewhere else like an offensive lineman?
Yeah, I still think the Jaguars could go somewhere else, but you have to probably buy into it at this point. I know Westgate, Superbook, and Circa put up numbers yesterday, and it looks like Walker to go number one is basically minus 185, minus 200. So he's a new odds-on favorite to be the top pick, and I think it probably makes sense. You know, I was never sold that the Jaguars liked Hutchinson so much that he was going to be a lock at number one. And when I did the mock drafts, I saw Aiden Hutchinson out there to be the number two pick plus 220. So I went ahead and bet that because I said, if the Jags for some reason don't take Hutchinson, who was number one pick in basically all the main mock drafts, including Mel Kiper and everyone else, how could the Detroit Lions let Hutchinson slip past number two? I didn't think that was possible. So I actually took him at plus 220. I feel pretty good about that bet right now.
Maybe they think Thibodeau's better. And sometimes you pass on the hometown kid. That could happen.
Yeah, it could happen, Paul. Yep. It could happen because I've heard that the Lions, I read this somewhere, somebody had knowledge of the Lions draft board said, if Hutchinson goes number one, the Lions are going to target Kayvon Thibodeau or Derek Stingley. And, you know, you would say it's a reach because the Lions took Jeff Okuda, the corner from Ohio State, a couple years ago at number three, and you wouldn't want to take a corner that highly, you know, in drafts that are so close together. But the Lions have new leadership at the top of the organization. And I think they, if they love Stingley, they would take him. Maybe it's Thibodeau. Who knows? Mm-hmm. That's one thing that makes this draft such a mystery at the top, and why I think bookmakers shouldn't have been so afraid. Many bookmakers should not have been so afraid to book this thing, as surprises and unpredictable results are the friend of the bookmaker. And this is the most volatile draft we've seen in quite a while. So this might be the bookmaker's chance to finally get back and win a little bit on the draft. I floated that idea to Jay Cornegay when I talked to him Sunday, and he said, no. He goes, I don't see any way we're going to win on this draft. So.
Okay. Wow. Gloomy Gus over there, Mike. Who do you think the Texans take at three then?
Well, let's see. I'm going to say Derek Stingley has a chance to go there.
Oh, I hope so.
Would you get him at?
Matt and I each have it at 100.
Oh, my God.
All I know, you know, you've given credit to William Hill for being aggressive and putting up so many draft props.
Yeah.
I was looking at the William Hill props actually, 2 weeks ago, and I saw, you know, Stingley at 30-1 to be the second pick, 100-1 to be the third pick, and I bet both of those, just small bets, really small bets, just a long shot. I said, why not? This guy, if you think about after his freshman season at LSU, when they won the national championship, that guy was considered a top five pick.
Yep.
How much has changed? You know, not that much. He had an injury. He played for a dysfunctional LSU team. He kind of checked out last season, but I don't think pro scouts care that much about that. They're going to look at the potential in this kid's athletic ability, and he's a stud. I think he could be a top five pick. But Paul, I guess right now, if I had to guess, I would say it's going to be Walker 1, Hutchinson 2, and let's go Kayvon Thibodeau 3. I think that would probably be the most likely order. 3 edge rushers right off the top.
All right. Your best bet, is it still wide receivers over? Now, 5.5 was heavily juiced over, but, I mean, there were sixes out there as well. And run through some of the other bets you made, too, please.
Yeah, wide receivers over 5.5 at -165. I would pay a higher price on that now, too. If you haven't, if you're late to the party, I would still, if you can find a 5.5 over, you know, I'd pay up to $3 on that before I would bet over 6.5, because I think there's a really good chance that number is going to fall on 6. Could we get to 7th wide receiver? Yeah, that's possible. It could happen late in the round, but I feel much, much better about getting 6 wide receivers. So quarterbacks drafted in the first round, under 3.5 at -175. I don't think we're going to get to 4. You know, we've heard multiple guys talk about how none of these quarterbacks have first-round grades. I just don't see how Matt Corral and Desmond Ridder both go at the end of the first round. That would be such a reach. I don't think we're going to get to 4 quarterbacks. So under 3.5 is, I think, a strong play there. I did play Kenny Pickett, the Pitt quarterback, over 10.5 at -185. Yeah. And some of these prices are high, and I don't really like paying these higher prices, but the draft is a different animal. Mm-hmm. And if you think Kenny Pickett, you know, -185 is value, then you go ahead and bet it, because I think Kenny Pickett over 10.5 probably should be -$3 or something like that. So, and you're not going to find 10.5 out there now. Circa and Westgate went up yesterday at 16.5 on his prop total. I bet Malik Willis at -160 to go before Pickett. I bet Cincinnati corner Ahmad Gardner under 7.5, -$2. I think Gardner's going to go number 4 to the Jets. Derek Stingley under 11.5, -150. Right now you can get Stingley under 8.5 at even money, which is not a bad bet either, I don't think. USC wide receiver Drake London over 10.5, -110. That bet's out there today. I don't think he's going to be a top 10 wide receiver. I actually like Jameson Williams and Garrett Wilson to be the first two wide receivers off the board. I played Williams, Jameson Williams under 13.5, -120. A couple other plays. One more on a wide receiver. And I think this guy, when we look back, is going to be considered the sleeper of the draft, and one of the elite receivers out of this class is North Dakota State's Christian Watson. And right now you can find his draft position under 38.5 at +115 at Circa, or under 39.5 at the Westgate. This kid's 6'4". He's a big receiver. He ran a sub-4.4. I know he was in with a visit with the Packers last week. He could easily go somewhere in the 20s. And that was a bet I made yesterday after Circa and Nowesky put up draft propositions on the North Dakota State wide receiver. I also took him -110 to be drafted before George Pickens of Georgia. Let's see, George Karloftis, Purdue defensive end, over 18.5. Iowa offensive lineman Tyler Linderbaum, under 28.5. He's a stud the more you look into it. I don't think he's going to slip out of the first round. And I also took Matt Corral, -104, to go before Desmond Ridder. I'm not sure either one of those guys is going to be going the first round. I think when we look back Tuesday night, hopefully we're saying, well, there's some common sense that prevailed here. Only two quarterbacks went in the first round. And I think it's more likely Corral and Ridder both go early in the second round. What do you guys think?
I think Corral goes first round, late.
That's how you bet it, right, Paul?
Yes, that's how, yes.
Yeah. I bet Ridder first round. But, Matt, as we approach the draft, I'm not so high on that bet anymore, to be honest.
It seems like a lot of teams really high on Matt Corral. And the more I read about it, you know, it seems more likely that he could go in the first round than Desmond Ridder. So I did find that matchup out there, and I played Corral to go ahead of Ridder, yeah.
Yeah, makes some sense. All right, Matt, follow him on Twitter. He's at MattHumans247. Catch him every single day, Monday through Friday, at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific, right here on The Edge on VSiN. Thanks, pal. Good luck on Thursday.
All right, you bet. Thanks, guys.
Yep. Thank you.
Also, there's that rumor last night that the Packers are trying to get a deal done with the Raiders for Darren Waller, tight end. So then they would not have to give up a first-round pick. They could get an ultra-talented tier one tight end in this league as a receiver now to go with Tanyan, and then they could draft a rookie wide receiver, and then that's the way they could approach it. You also don't have to break the bank for a guy like Waller compared to Deebo Samuel. You're not going to pay him that much. I kind of like that idea for the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
And the Raiders don't have any picks, so if they would have, they don't pick until, the third round, I believe. So if they could maybe acquire a second-round pick, that might make some sense.
I'm with you. I do not like the Ridder pick anymore.
No, neither do I.
I had under 31 and a half. It just,
I've soured on that.
Yep.
The first hour of Follow the Money is presented exclusively by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Log in and get a 20% profit boost on Major League Baseball bets every single Tuesday. Must be 21+. Offer is not valid in all areas. Check BetRivers.com for full offer details and rules. We will recap some of last night's betting action and get into tonight's numbers that we have. Intriguing matchups across the board. That's coming up here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. Bet Rivers give you more reasons to root for the home team. 20% profit boost on all MLB games. Log on today. Place your bets. Money line, point spread. Who will hit a home run? You'll earn a 20% profit boost on any baseball game. See site for details. BetRivers.com or download the app and place your bets today.
All right, Paulie, let's get into the number one overall pick in Thursday's NFL draft out here in Las Vegas. John Shipley joins the program. Beat reporter for JaguarsReport.com. John, thanks for the time today. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing perfect. How you guys doing?
Doing really well. Can you break this down for us? According to almost every single report now, it's coming down to the owner, Shad Khan, versus the GM, Trent Baalke, and then maybe versus the head coach, Doug Peterson, and all three guys might want to go in a different direction. How does that exactly look to you and everybody else in the Jacksonville area, and who do you think wins out?
Yeah, I saw the report along with everybody else yesterday that it could be, kind of like a mini standoff, within Jacksonville for number one overall pick. I get the feeling that this isn't any, that it isn't anything more than the natural, debate that goes on within, any front office for any top pick. So I do expect them to reach a consensus, fairly smoothly. With that said, it really more and more points to Trevon Walker at number one overall. And, Trent Baalke is long been rumored to be, the Trevon Walker fan, of this draft class among the people picking at the top. You look back at his history, and he is a traits-based drafter, especially on the defensive line. Trevon Walker, with his frame, with his length, with his versatility, he's a lot like guys, Baalke's drafted in the past, not just Adon Smith, but, there's some, Arik Armstead and some DeForest Buckner traits there. So I think when you just consider that and the fact that, when their only really pre-draft availability last Friday, You know, Balky got asked directly, you know, how do you value trades versus production when it comes to, you know, Hutchinson and Walker? He said he thinks both players are productive in their own ways and, you know, talked about Walker's scheme. That to me says, you know, if you see two players, if you see them, you know, each as productive, I think it's only naturally to think he would lean Walker after that, because the only real knock on Walker, you know, is his production. So I think it's looking more and more like Walker. I've said all process, I think it'll be Hutchinson. I think there's still a chance in Hutchinson, and it makes sense to me why, you know, if owner Shad Khan wanted Hutchinson, why that would be who he wanted. You know, he's the safe pick one for an owner of a team who hasn't really done the safe thing very often, especially in the first round. And he's, you know, probably a good business decision, because if you think about any of the marketable rookies and guys who are going to be seen as, you know, really faces of the league, you know, from this draft class, Hutchinson's probably near the top.
Would you put your paycheck on Walker going number one?
I'm getting closer and closer to it. I'm not completely on the, okay, I'm going to, you know, go ahead and lock in, you know, who I think the pick is, but I'm getting closer and closer to Walker, just because it really seems, you know, at this point, all the momentum for Hutchinson is really, you know, drying up, and it's pointing to Walker.
Where's Peterson's? Peterson wants offensive lineman. Does he have any say, or is he just getting overruled because he's the new guy?
I think Peterson definitely has say. I think, you know, when you look at, I know it was a story a few weeks ago that, you know, some AFC coach, you know, anonymously, a reporter that, you know, Peterson, it was a worst kept secret that he wanted an offensive player.
Right.
I think that makes sense because, you know, he's an offensive coach. I mean, he's inheriting one of the worst offenses from a year ago. I think it'd be not before him that, you know, maybe prefer an offensive player. And I don't think if he has an offensive player one, that's that different from the opinion of a guy like Balky, who, you know, he probably has a guy like Ika Mekwonu, you know, probably in his top two, probably top three. So I think they share similar opinions on there. It's just, it's going to come down to really what the organization sees as, you know, the best pick to win games today, because, you know, for as much as he probably wants an offensive lineman, any offensive lineman they pick is probably playing left guard, you know, as a rookie. And I'm not sure the Jaguars would be willing to swallow that pride wise.
If it's Walker one, what happens? Who goes two and three, in your opinion?
To me, Hutchinson would go two. And I'm getting closer and closer to thinking Derek Stingley. They've been a tough team to figure out. I know, you know, offensive line's been a popular one with Ekwonu and Neal, and, you know, Walker, when the Jaguars don't take him, he's commonly seen there. But I feel like they're going to, you know, make kind of the first surprise of the draft, go cornerback, and they get a guy who gets a ton of turnovers.
Why is that? I know that maybe the writing has been on the wall a little bit about hints that they've dropped. They need everything. Lovie Smith recently said we need better play at cornerback, but it's also because, like, how high they have Stingley on the board overall.
I think so, and I think just the fact that, you know, if you're taking an offensive lineman, you're taking a right tackle, you know, at number three. I'm not sure that's something that they're going to be willing to do. And I think there's even a chance, you know, they could see some of the tackles in this class, you know, as guards, you know, just based on the evaluation of, you know, the players in this class. Like, for example, I'm not sure either of the top two drafted tackles this year would have, you know, been among the top two tackles drafted last year. So I could easily see them, you know, having a guy like Stingley rated higher than Neal Ekwonu.
Okay. What is, at this point, what's the craziest thing that you've heard that either has zero chance of happening, or something that you're like, you know what, I'm maybe buying that a little bit?
Yeah, no, it to me be, you know, Northern Iowa offensive tackle Trevor Penning in the top 10. It really seems like, you know, there's a legitimate chance that, ooh, you know, the team see a run on tackles and, you know, get kind of tackle crazy and go for a guy with so much of a high ceiling like Penning. But to me, it would just be absolutely wild to see him drafted in the top 10, just based on, you know, really all the evidence, all the film that, you know, teams have. Like, I know this is a weak class, but I don't think it's that weak of a class.
Mm-hmm. I saw you retweeting some stuff regarding Jermaine Johnson, possibly how the Jets are higher on him, like at number four, let's say, than Kayvon Thibodeau. His draft position now is around 10.5 at most books out here in Las Vegas and beyond. Are you buying that with Johnson maybe going that high?
No, I do think so. I think Johnson's the guy that the NFL, you know, is naturally really like, you know, for his on and off field demeanor. You know, he's a really big leader for the FSU program. You know, a lot of production, and then, you know, he's kind of been a guy who's killed the draft process. You know, big showing at the Senior Bowl, you know, impressive combine for the drills he did. So I do think he's going to go high. And for me, I'm a guy who I think Kayvon Thibodeau, though, you know, based on talent, deserves to go within these top two picks. But it's just hard for me to find a spot for him where, as a Johnson, you know, I could see a team like the Jets taking him even that early.
How many quarterbacks do you think we get in the first round?
I think two. I think Willis and Ritter.
And Ritter? You think Pickett drops out?
I do. I think Pickett goes second round.
Okay. Who are the Jags targeting in the second round?
I think guys who make sense are, you know, guys along the offensive line. I think Tyler Smith from Tulsa is somebody who would make a lot of sense. And then, you know, at linebacker, you know, Georgia linebacker Quay Walker and Alabama linebacker Christian Harris are two guys who could probably, you know, start for them right away, you know, on defense, you know, alongside their free agent addition. They have a really big, you know, glaring need at linebacker, you know, even despite spending money there this offseason. So I think it's only natural to assume that they'd be interested in one of those.
So, John, this is now back-to-back years that you've covered a draft with Jacksonville having the number one overall pick. Where are they drafting next year? How high do you think?
I'll go ahead and say number nine.
Okay, so some improvement.
Mm. Yeah, no, so some definitely some improvement, but not enough to, you know, really make you think, okay, this is completely turned around. But at the very least, not the worst team in the league.
Yeah, you fully buy in on Trevor Lawrence?
I honestly do think that, you know, he has all the talent and, you know, his struggles last year, and, you know, they certainly were struggles. I mean, you don't produce like that without struggles. I really do think that was based on, you know, the environment and not him. So I do think he's going to be a good quarterback at this level.
Are you blaming Urban Meyer? How dare you?
Yeah, right? And, you know, that's news to Urban Meyer that Trevor Lawrence had a bad season, too.
No kidding. You can follow him on Twitter, @John_Shipley for Jaguar Report. Thank you, sir. Enjoy it on Thursday night.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Well done. There you go. All right, he's getting there. Almost 100%.
Rapid fire with him. Good. That was solid. Yeah.
Ritter.
Yeah, two quarterbacks. That's it. And Ritter being one of them.
That'd be something.
I'd like that based on bets.
Now, that would be something if it's Corral, Ritter, and Willis and no Pickett in the first round.
I would not. Yeah.
That'd really be something.
What if Pickett is the fourth quarterback taken?
Oh.
Which is basically something that you just said. What are the odds on that?
It was nonstop mocks a month ago. He's sixth.
Sixth.
Carolina was taken. That's it. You're right.
Pickett to go third. Corral third was, quarterback.
Oh, that's a big price because Corral's 450.
Yeah, and fourth quarterback.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Okay, we got to look into that. I laid -185 with him yesterday over 10.5.
Had to do it. Yeah.
Again, this is the one time of year where
I'm not
afraid to have a bunch of bets where I'm laying $1.50, $2.
No, Chernoff's right. The information, if you think it's a winner.
Sure.
Yeah.
I told this story yesterday, a guy who we know.
Yep.
$70,000 on Lawrence to go number one overall last year to win $2,000. I think it's free money. I'm gonna start the draft by winning $2,000. We will get into today's Major League Baseball card coming up next. Some pretty solid pitchers going, including a guy under the radar, off to a terrific start on the mound. Details on that coming up.
Follow the money on VSEN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back. If you're looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams, Bet Rivers has you covered. They've launched a series of CityCast designed to tackle sports betting from a local perspective. CityCast in Chicago, Denver, Detroit, L.A., New York, Philly, Pittsburgh, and now Washington, D.C. Subscribe to your local CityCast wherever you get your podcast.
All right, Paulie, let's begin this hour with more talk on the NFL draft. Earlier in this show, we talked about the number one overall pick with a beat reporter from Jacksonville. Now, Benjamin Raven joins the program, Lions beat reporter and co-host, I love this name, of the Dungeon of Doom podcast. Talk about the Lions at number two. Benjamin, thanks for the time today. How are you?
Absolutely. You know, just kind of counting down the days, ready to actually start writing about stuff that's happened, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Well, let's begin with this. And this happened Sunday night into yesterday. A new betting favorite to go number one overall with Trayvon Walker to the Jaguars, and what that would mean if Hutchinson is still on the board at number two. A lot of talk about how Thibodeau, might be the preferred choice there. But I think that was if Hutchinson goes number one. Break this down for us here. If Hutch is available at number two, what do you think the Lions end up doing?
I think they sprint to the podium. I think, honestly, and that, I mean, Kayvon is, the way I've got it playing out right now, I've got Kayvon to Detroit. I've still got Hutchinson one. I mean, we'll see before I hit publish on that what happens. But I think if Hutchinson is there at number two, that he is the preferred choice of Dan Campbell, and I think Brad Holmes wouldn't have any problems making that pick either. Now, if he's gone, it's Kayvon all day in my mind. But, I mean, if Hutchinson is there, I mean, the local prospect, they've seen him a million times in person. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, 50% of the fan base is going to be pretty psyched up about that pick for sure. You know, it's just he fits every box. He fits every box. And like I was telling you guys before we went on, I think Hutchinson and Dan Campbell are potential best buds and the best thing for each other. You know, those cut from the same cloth, football guy, no concerns with his motor. I mean, and that's something that the Lions have really vetted between the two top edge rushers. But I think if Hutchinson is there, that it's a sprint to the podium selection for the Lions.
And if Hutchinson goes one, they're going to sprint to the podium and take Thibodeau.
That's my take too. I think they're in love with both of those options, and I think they're feeling pretty set with either one of those guys, depending on how the board falls.
Okay, so a lot of rumors as well at number two that the team, and they just did this a couple of years ago with Okudo from Ohio State, that possibly, you know, on the board there would be Derek Stingley. People love this guy from LSU. He was awesome a couple of years ago. Then the injury set in. Under any scenario, can you see the Lions going cornerback at number two?
No, not at number two. And that's nothing against Sauce. That's nothing against Stingley. I just think the Lions have some, I mean, they've got some in-house options. I mean, Omani Awarie is on the final year of his rookie deal, had 6 interceptions last year. Jeff Okudah was the highest drafted cornerback since Sean Springs in 1997. That was 2 years ago. He's expected back. You know, they had 2 undrafted diamonds that shined last year as starters, A.J. Parker and Jerry Jacobs. Got to figure out what those guys are, too. I mean, that's not saying you pass on an elite talent, which I think Sauce and Stingley are. I just think there are some in-house things they have to figure out. I mean, they spent a third rounder on the lanky Fatu Melifonwu last year, too. They think that's a matchup piece for the future. They've got some youthful options in-house here. And you've really, I mean, you would be doing some damage. You know, I know it wasn't this regime's pick of Okudah, but that was the 3rd overall pick 2 years ago. You need to figure out what he is. You need to figure out what he can be. And I mean, I see it. I mean, they need a cornerback. They need a little depth, though. I think they're more set at the top of that room, I think. At least there's light at the end of the tunnel, which you can't say about a lot of the other positions here. But I just think cornerback at two, 2 years after taking a cornerback at number three, I just don't think that's in the cards. You know, I mean, I know Brad Holmes sees cornerback as one of those, you know, top of the line positions that you need to spend money on and spend early on. But I don't see it. I really don't see it.
Okay, fair enough. A lot of talk about teams at or near the top of the draft, Ben, that want to trade down. But I think they're going to have problems the way it appears finding trade partners because teams don't want to trade up for anybody. But if they have a chance to trade out at number two, would they?
Oh, I think trading out to number two would be their preferred option. But just because, I mean, I think they're really high on Walker too. And I just think if you could move back and still get one of those top three, top four edge defender guys, even when you're talking about Jermaine Johnson, I think they would really love to do that. Brad Holmes wants to build this thing through the draft. And I mean, moving from a 2 to a 4 or a 7 or a 5 and 10 with one of those New York teams would be, I just think, an ideal scenario. But it's just like you said, that's going to be really hard to do because there's 3 edge defenders in that top 10. There's 3 legit tackles in that top 10. And when you miss out on one of those guys, you're still looking at one of the top prospects in this weird draft class. So it's going to be really hard to move down. And just kind of coming out of Brad Holmes' pre-draft availability last week, it's just like, I wouldn't rule out the Lions moving up from 32. They need a linebacker. They love Lloyd. They love Dean. If they were gonna move up from 32, I think that is much more likely and realistic for this team than moving down. I think that is very much in the cards.
What if they stay put? And also, could it be a quarterback?
Not a quarterback at 32. I don't see the quarterback pick happening this year. You know, I think they would love a quarterback option to be on the board for them at 2 or 32 that they were in love with. But I just, from everything on the local beat, on the ground and stuff like that, it really feels like Brad Holmes is going to give Jared Goff every single opportunity to succeed this year. They've left the door open long-term, but I think this year, this is Jared Goff's like, what are you, man? are you this franchise's quarterback, or are you just a bridge to another rookie? And I think that Brad Holmes is doing his due diligence, and he's giving that guy the best chance he had. That's not what I would personally do after watching Jared Goff in Detroit last season, but it's just like, I've said it time and time again on our Dungeon of Doom podcast. Love something like Brad Holmes loves Jared Goff. I just don't see the quarterback pick. I just think of one of those safeties, not named Kyle Hamilton, is ideal at 32 or 34. And I mean, George Pickens is my favorite for him at 32. They need a receiver that can, they want a guy that's a willing blocker. They need a guy that can go up and make plays. They need another X receiver. I know they signed the guy from Jacksonville, Chark, this offseason, but that's a 1-year deal. There's still right. a glaring need opposite St. Brown in that receiver room. And receiver and the defense back at 32 and 34 should be on the top of the mind.
So you think that's more likely where they would go wide receiver than quarterback at 32?
Yeah. Yeah.
You do.
I know they see value in that fifth round, that fifth year option at 32, but it's not the vibe I get from just Campbell and Holmes. I think if they were going to get a quarterback, it would be at the top of that order. I don't see that happening either, but it's just like, they're going to get that out of the way. They're going to do that early. I don't think they're going to sit around and wait at 32 for a quarterback. You know, they've had enough time with these guys, but I would rule out quarterback on day one and day two for the Lions. Mm-hmm. I don't see it happening. That's not what I would do, as I would say, but that's just the feeling I'm getting from covering that team every day.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I think there's a chance where you're going to have your pick of a lot of quarterbacks at that point. I think Pickett slides. I think he might be available at 32. Yeah. And then maybe, you know, Correll's draft position now is 34 and a half. So it looks like he's going to be available. And who knows with Ridder? He's been all over the map for the last 2 weeks.
No, absolutely. And it's just like, I think it would be a really tough discussion if you're looking at, I think Ridder and Howell are the guys at 32 that would make them really go, oh, maybe there is an answer here. Maybe there is a solution 2 years from here. Maybe we overthought this, you know, but I think those are the two guys. Those are the two guys that I think would fit well with kind of the timeline here, the situation here, the roster here, the coaches here, and those in place is Ridder and after Willis, of course, but Ridder and Howell are the two that have the best chance at 32, I think, to kind of spike Brad Holmes' interest.
Yeah. You can follow him on Twitter. He is at Benjamin S. Raven, Lions beat reporter, MLive.com, co-host of the Dungeon of Doom podcast. Benjamin, thanks for the time today. Enjoy the draft on Thursday.
Absolutely. Good luck to you guys. Thanks for having
me. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well done.
Okay, so it all depends on what's going to happen at one then. Totally changes his tune, right?
We do very well if Thibodeau goes two.
Runs to the podium if Hutchinson goes number one for Thibodeau, but if Walker goes number one, it won't be Thibodeau. They're going to run to the podium for Hutchinson.
Yep. Son of a gun. I believe him. Hutchinson's a dollar. I'm looking at Hutchinson $1.30, second pick.
What are you seeing on Thibodeau right now?
Second pick?
Yeah.
Second choice. He was the favorite for two or three picks, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the favorite to go fourth. I can't wait to talk to John coming up because every guy's plus price now with Houston. Sauce was 9-1. He's plus 250. Quanu's plus 280. Neal's 4-1. Stingley's still 5-1. Hutchinson's 5-1. Thibodeau 6. Oh, damn. 6 isn't going to sound like that going to happen.
Well, just based
Thibodeau was plus 180 second. Answer your question.
Things can change, but based on the betting numbers right now, I mean, it's Walker's going number one overall. Based on where we're sitting right now, 2 days before the draft, with the betting numbers, Walker's going to go number one overall. And then.
Am I in trouble now? Trouble with Thibodeau under 5.5?
Could be. I laid 230 with that. I have under 5.5 minus 230.
Where's he going if it goes?
But if you want to get out of it, there's a 3.5 available.
That's right. Yes.
You know?
Middle of that sucker, too. Right.
That's a possibility. He could go 4 or 5.
Well, let's say it goes Stingley 3 or offensive lineman. Would the Jets go Sauce or Thibodeau? Probably Sauce.
Maybe Sauce.
And then 5
Giants. Giants
go offensive line.
But there's going to be plenty in under that scenario. Yeah. Plenty of linemen would be available. They could go Thibodeau 5 and then come back with an offensive lineman at number 7. Boy,
and
oh boy, this
you are right. I can go over 3.5 too.
Yeah, you can grab that.
Yep.
I would wait because I want to know what John McClain's going to say, who's covered the Texans for 45 years, coming up in 20 minutes.
Okay, Thibodeau was, I'm seeing 4.5 plus 175 now, too. That helps.
What if he comes on, McClain?
McClain.
And he says,
McClain, come on, McClain.
Hey, yes, come on, John, what are we doing here?
Yeah. And says what?
And if he says, we're going to ask him the question, who are you going to put your paycheck on? And if he says, Derek Stingley. Then what?
I trust them.
So would I.
And then you, yeah.
So would I.
Then you're taking us all out. Be good.
But that also
I believe
means, that means at that point you need to bet Thibodeau over 3.5 to try for a middle spot at that point. If this guy's convinced in 20 minutes they're going to take a guy like Stingley or Gardner, 3.
God. I win a dime if Thibodeau goes second. What a fiasco.
Yeah, but
Jackson really screwed this up. They really did.
It's all on them.
Yes, it is.
I blame them. Win some, lose some. Coming up next.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with CallSheet. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to CallSheet.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at callshe.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant... Just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Follow the money on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN Spring Special is here. For $59, you get everything VSiN has to offer from now to the end of July. Ton going on. Adam Burke's daily MLB best bets. The next few months are going to be filled with the best betting content in the business right here at VSiN.com. If you want the full VSiN experience, you get the daily best bet emails, every edition of Point Spread Weekly, the live video stream whenever you want it. $59. Subscribe through July 31st. Sign up now, VSiN.com/spring.
All right, more NFL draft now. John McClain has covered the NFL for the Houston Chronicle for 45 years. Kind enough to carve out a couple of minutes this morning to join us on the show. John, thanks for the time today. A pleasure to talk to you. How are you?
It's my pleasure. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Yep, you've done this for, like I said, now 4+ decades. Are you, like, sitting here this morning, what are we, like, 60 hours before the draft, are you confident in anything right now in the top 2 or 3 picks?
I've never seen a guy like Trayvon Walker, whose stock is skyrocketing based on what he showed in shorts and T-shirts. Because at the end of the season, when everybody had all this tape on him, nobody was talking about him being a first-round pick. Just another really good Georgia defensive player who helped the Bulldogs win the national championship. The last time I saw that was 2006 when Mario Williams from North Carolina State went crazy at the combine. And everybody, who? The Texans didn't even go to his pro day. And then they ended up drafting him number one overall. And Mario became a regular guy, double-digit sacks. But it was based so much on everything he did at the combine and at his pro day and at his private workouts. And that's the way that Trayvon Walker has been. Now people are talking about Trent Baalke taking him over a sure thing like Aiden Hutchinson with the top pick. And I know this, if Detroit has a chance to get Hutchinson, keeping him in Michigan, that is the surest thing that we can see in this draft.
Hmm. So what if Hutchinson goes number one overall? Walker's the favorite now. Mm. Then what do you think the Lions do at number two? And then what would that mean for the Texans at number three?
The Lions need a pass rusher in the worst way. I still think they would take Walker unless they picked Kayvon Thibodeau. But the thing, if you're picking up high, you can't have a question about a player. And Kayvon Thibodeau, no matter how much people are trying to deny it, he has issues about playing hard on every play. I watched him at the combine do an interview in which, of course, he disagreed with that. And then he didn't do some of the drills. And he may turn out to be a Hall of Fame player. But if you're picking a guy that high, you got to know he's going to give you everything he has on every single play. So I would have them taking Trayvon Walker.
Will the Texans take Sauce Gardner?
If you're going, it's very rare you see a corner taking that high. The left one, Jeff Okuda went number three, Detroit, and it was 2 years ago. Has he been worth it? No, not yet he hasn't. And the Texans have a great need for a corner. But if you're going to take a corner that high, like, say, Sauce Gardner, you've got to play a lot of man coverage. And he's got to be able to take on the best receiver on the other team all over the field. The Texans play three-fourths of their coverages zone. Lovie Smith's all about turnovers. He wants the guys looking at the ball. That was the biggest improvement they made on defense last year. And it's not you would be wasting a guy like Sauce Gardner. I just think they take another pick, and then maybe at 13, they take Trent McDuffie, or they trade down and take McDuffie, and or they take a corner in the second round. But I do not think they'll take one third overall.
Okay. So that means, and I wanted to ask you this question too, are you specifically crossing off any player at number three? Because some people have linked Derek Stingley to the Texans as high as a third overall pick. Are you saying right now no chance that's going to happen?
Now, why in the world would you take a guy who hasn't played much the last 2 years, could have durability issues, wouldn't hit anybody last year? That's not a sure thing. You don't do that with the third overall pick, especially in this defense based on the reasons I just gave. Mm-hmm. That's why I think they will take an offensive lineman or a pass rusher. If Trayvon Walker were there for the Texans, if the Lions took Thibodeau, I think Texans would be all over Trayvon Walker.
Okay. At this stage of the game. And by the way, so you, again, 45 years covering this sport for the Houston Chronicle. Is this your last draft? Is this your last event that you're covering? Because I know that you're retiring.
Yeah, I retired a month ago. I've been busier than ever. I still do 10 weekly sports talk shows in six cities. And I've been doing freelance work for the Chronicle on the draft series because they haven't had any time to replace me. And I'll be working through the draft. But yes, unless I end up taking another job somewhere, which I don't envision because I do look forward to having time off at some point. This could be my last draft. My first one was so long ago, I can't even remember it.
So let's pretend then for a second here that it is Walker 1, Hutchinson number 2. Texans are on the clock. Which player, if you had to put your retirement on, who's going number 3? Who would you think it is as of right now?
Nick Iaquinta. The Texans had the worst running game in the NFL. They had the worst running game in franchise history. And they were 31st the year before. They have been unable to run the ball since 2019. It's been pathetic. And if you want to help a quarterback, Davis Mills, going into his second season, you've got to give him a running game. Mills' performance last year was even more impressive when you consider how bad the running game was. Mac Jones had one of the best running games in the NFL, and that's why he was the best rookie quarterback overall, although Mills was the best over the last month. But they've got to get more physical and better up front. They've got Laremy Tunsil at left tackle, Titus Howard at right tackle. They could play Ekwonu at left guard for a year like Tunsil did as a rookie with Miami, or they could move Titus Howard back inside where they played him last year, which was not a disaster, but not the best use of Titus Howard. So they have to get physical. They have to get mentally tougher up front. And the way you do that is inside, and there is no player in the offensive line more physical than Ike Ekwonu.
All right, good info. It's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. John McClain has covered the NFL for the Houston Chronicle for 45 years. What do you personally think of the quarterbacks in this year's draft, and how many do you think go in the first round?
I don't think much. Next year looks like a great draft for quarterback if Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud come out like everybody thinks. This one is very mediocre. A lot of times if you are a team in need of a quarterback, like say Carolina, you know, they need a guy that's ready to play. That would be Kenny Pickett. That would not be Malik Willis. And I think because of desperation, we're going to see three or four go in the first round. If you want a guy to sit out a year, that would be Willis. And if you do, the next coach might be the one that has him in his second year. And I think Kenny Pickett, 49 starts. Desmond Ridder, 48 starts. Those are the guys who are the most ready. But I think three or four in the first round, if I had to pick, I would say three.
All right. You can follow John on Twitter. He is at McClain_on_NFL. Pleasure talking to you, sir. Thanks for the time today. We appreciate that.
Guys, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much, and enjoy the draft.
You too.
All right.
There you go.
Thank you, sir. Okay, so if he is correct, then is it Sauce at four, or is it Thibodeau at four? And then how far, what would happen? Could Sauce get, the Giants would have to take Sauce, right? If it goes, then Thibodeau would go four?
What if Thibodeau's on the,
oh boy.
Trying to think. If they go offensive lineman, if it goes defensive line, offensive lineman, and you're going Thibodeau and Gardner are still available at number four, I think the Jets have to gobble one of those players up for sure.
Oh, that right. It'd be one of them. I just don't know which. When, what does it mean for the guy that isn't picked?
Do they go?
Then the Giants go. Giants would probably go Neal.
If the if the Giants are on the board at five and Gardner's there, I think there's a chance that they would pass on him.
Or the Giants could go cross at seven and take Thibodeau or Gardner at five.
Maybe.
What does Carolina do
but
at six?
I think they probably go offensive.
I told you. Jacksonville screwed this up.
It's all on them.
It was all set. Hutchinson, Thibodeau, it was all set.
If I no lose problem. Money on the draft because of Jacksonville, they are getting an IOU.
Invoice them. Absolutely, invoice them. Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, that's unfortunate news. He just completely poo-pooed Derek Stingley.
No chance, he said.
Oh, boy.
Nope, no way.
Just sucked the wind right out of the sails.
No Sauce either.
No, he doesn't like the idea of either one of them.
That's not happening either. And he went from 9-1 to the favorite to go third at William Hill. Yeah, all right, you can get 3-1 on Ekwonu to Houston.
Number three.
Ekwonu, yeah. Mm. Giddy up.
So I'm looking at a bunch of mock drafts right now. Ekwonu third. There's one, there's two, there's three. I'm looking at a bunch of mocks at the same exact time. Now, there are a handful that have him going third overall. But again.
He also wouldn't put his retirement money on it. Shame on him, but he wouldn't. Yeah.
Well, as he said,
that's his guess, but it's not.
On and off the air, he's like, nobody knows anything.
I guess.
It may be the number one pick. Like, okay, that's about it. After that, you have no clue what's going to happen, how this could fall.
Yeah.
All right, it's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We will recap our bets from last night and tell you what we're betting today in Pocket Place up next.